Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. We started this a long time ago, and I knew that I couldn't be a guest host all on my own. I would even get bored with myself, like if it was just me all the time. So I figured that we would have some other guest hosts, and if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com, you'll see we have plenty. And one of the things that I did was I met a gentleman named Jean-Luc, and Jean-Luc is originally from France. But he was building a business that a friend had recommended him to us as a customer. And through the many conversations that I had Jean-Luc, as I explained to him what the things that we did, I loved his accent, but I really enjoyed his philosophy towards business building. And I said, let me show you how we do some of the things on the radio. So we started doing a radio show on Friday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern time, which is this time. That's 8 p.m. on the Pacific side. So I'm on the Atlantic. If you wanted me to, I could go out there and splash some salt water around. And Jean-Luc is on the Pacific.
I can splash too.
He can splash too. So we're bookending you guys, if you're listening in, from the Atlantic to the Pacific, not only on time frames, but also on oceans. And he spends a lot of time in many places, but some of the time is on a sailboat. So we speak about a lot of really cool things. And we started doing a radio show. I think we're up to 340 somewhat radio shows every week, which means, we've been doing this for a long time. So we did it pre-COVID and pre-even Donald Trump, I guess. And or maybe yeah, just around the time. So we've done that, and then we've talked about a lot of things. And then about 2.5 years ago or so, I got a phone call that was the next to worst phone call that I would ever get. So Jean-Luc made that phone call, so it wasn't the worst phone call. Because if Diane made the phone call, then it would be like, oh, shoot, Jean-Luc's no longer here. But Jean-Luc made the phone call, which is good news. So the worst thing didn't happen yet. So he called me up and he says, hey, listen, Peter, I'm not going to be able to do the radio shows anymore. And, you know, we had such a good relationship. I knew it was nothing like that happened.
I don't pay anymore.
Yeah. So then he said that he was going into the hospital to await a heart transplant. And I said that kind of slow so you can hear me, because it's not every day that you talk to somebody who tells you that they are having a heart transplant. And he needs to be in the hospital ready for this new heart that he doesn't know where it's going to come from yet to arrive. So, you know, he was going to need to take some time off. And I said to myself, you know, Jean-Luc, I know he's in good health, besides the heart valve that he was having a problem with. No one ever thought it would mean a heart transplant. Oh, my gosh. I thought maybe do a couple of surgery, you're in and you're out.
Even
and all
me.
That kind of stuff. Even Jean-Luc thought so. And then, but when I heard that, I was shocked, saddened, and optimistically pessimistic. Like, I hope he makes it, but I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, this is a stretch here. Not too many people that I know go in for heart surgery. I do have a guy named Wesley McCoy who's had a new heart surgery, but he didn't come out as healthy as Jean-Luc did when they were finished. So one thing led to another. We started doing this, and then that was like in a November-December conversation, but by February, we're back on the radio again, like nothing else happened. So because of his good health, his attitude, all those types of things, he had a heart transplant, recovered in record time, walked out of the hospital 7 or so days later, and we've been doing these radio shows ever since. So no matter what we talk about, it's always a good day when you can be on the radio with my good friend Jean-Luc. So Jean-Luc, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate to be my good friend Peter on this radio show 342 tonight without to count the time when I was out. But I was the first one to be surprised, you know, when they said to me, oh, we can do a transplant. I'd say, what? What are you talking about? 3 weeks before I was selling the boat on the island and all of this, 2 weeks after I found myself at Cedars-Sinai Hospital and said, yeah, we can do a heart transplant. Like you say, you both, you go to take your morning jogging and done.
Yeah.
I was the first one to be surprised. But it happened. And I feel way, 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 way better than I was before.
Yep.
He's like their night. Their night.
Yep. So good things. Now I'm going to kind of interrupt for just a second because I want to be able to sprinkle in some history into our radio show. A little bit earlier, while we were doing a travel radio show, the SpaceX rocket ship was supposed to off. I don't think it did, but it's supposed to take off and deliver a whole bunch of satellites. And that's run SpaceX is by Elon Musk. And we know he didn't do it on his own. But earlier, so that was kind of big, you know, like I was talking to my granddaughter who didn't want to see it. And I said, you know, spaceships and rockets and satellites are still kind of miracles every day, even though there's a lot of them up there. But anytime you can witness a miracle, you should really take a look at it. I mean, you really don't pass up. Don't treat miracles as being somewhat casual or nonchalant.
I agree with you, Peter, completely.
Yep. Well, there was a miracle that did happen that most people aren't talking about. Same guy, Elon Musk. Earlier, about a week or so ago, he launched a rocket. It was a test launch. And that rocket ship was designed to be the rocket ship, which would be the prototype that is the one that is going to bring people to Mars. So, and it blew up, by the way. So it
yeah, I saw that.
Flew for about 4 minutes, and then it blew up. And depending on who wrote the headlines, you know, some people might say the heavy-duty rocket blew up, it was a failure, or, you know, whatever, it ended in a tragic thing, spiraled out of concern, or out of control, blew up. But the reality was, it was a huge success. And the reason why it was a huge success is because it went further than the hardest place it needed to get to Mars. So there's a certain sweet spot where there's so much pressure on the rocket and the rocket ship that it could break up and disintegrate or explode. This rocket actually passed that and then blew up later on. So it went further than it was supposed to go, and then it blew up. And as a milestone, we just witnessed how we learned how to do the hardest thing. And that was Elon Musk and the SpaceX people. And we're on our way to Mars. I don't know why we want to go to Mars. I don't think it's really necessary that we're going to go build a community on Mars. But one of the things that they did that nobody's talking about is because of this super heavy-duty rocket ship, they could move more stuff for less price, period. So Elon Musk, kudos to Elon Musk. We just, like I said, we had a SpaceX rocket that may not have gone up today, but it was a milestone, Jean-Luc. And I don't know if it's going to happen while we're still alive, but the reality is that there, you know, America is on top again. I mean, China didn't do that. Russia didn't do that. India didn't do that. The United States did that. And this is a huge milestone. So like them, love them, hate them, whatever, Elon Musk and his crew just really built a huge milestone. We might as well put it in the books. So back to you.
But don't forget, he's a South African guy.
Yeah, that's true. He's not even American. He's South African. But that's another story.
He's South African, okay?
He's a legal immigrant. Huh? At least he's a legal immigrant.
Like me.
Yeah, like you, yeah. Hey, well, import's a good one.
I am a legal immigrant, and he's a legal immigrant, too. Maybe now he has the American nationality, citizenship. I don't know. But me, I'm not taking because they ask to renew allegiance on your own country. And I said no. And I said, to these people. I say, don't expect me to take part. You know, if tomorrow U.S. go to war with France, don't expect me to take the side of U.S. and to kill French people, and don't expect me to be in France and to kill American people. I will not take neither of this side, because it's all politics first, and second, I have friends everywhere, and I don't want to. And also, I never been a military guy, even if I do the military in France, because it was mandatory. Otherwise, we are going in jail on my time. But I never like it. I never like to kill people to steal something, you know. Because for me, war is exactly what it is. Except when you need to protect your country. You have sometime you need to protect your country, like it happened during World War II. But if you analyze World War II, you will find behind the politician in U.S. pushing the war, and Laguerre pushing now against Russia and Ukraine and China and Thailand and all of this. Maybe I will do a special radio show on it, because I learned many, many things on the French side, and I need to translate all of this, because if I speak French now, I don't think a lot of people, maybe except you, Peter, understand me.
Right, I hear you. Yeah, well, the whole war thing is a very interesting thing, and unfortunately, a lot of people have died because of misguided leadership. You know,
I will say something, Peter. I will ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you know what U.S. need?
Do I know what? What?
U.S. government, the U.S. need, and I say
what
need.
What does it need?
Not want. Yeah.
Well, the U.S. government needs there to be wars for all the reasons that it needs there to be wars. To line their pockets, have control, to have control, you know, basically to be assholes.
The most important expenses in this country is the military industry.
Right.
When you have this big machine running, you need to find a way to use it. And because of that, they need war with everyone. Basically everyone. They go they go to war all around the world. And they try to remap the whole world. They try to divide country in smaller and all of this. And like I said, we'll do a special audio show on it. And I saw a map. It's very interesting. But when you have this big machine and the first expenses of the country, you need to run it. You need to aliment this machine. You need to make this machine working. For that, they need war.
It's just like, you know, we do a lot of stuff with MLM companies, and MLM companies sometimes need an excuse for a money game. So they develop a product that might be an excuse for a money game. So a lot of the defense budgets are excuses for the money game to line their own pockets and keep control. So you're right, we can do whole radio shows on that.
It's not a defense budget, because many people say it's a war budget. It's not to defend, because what they push is, oh, we need to defend our country. Nobody attack America, okay? And at least with gun. But now many people attack America economically.
Yeah.
I don't know if you see what happened just, 2 days ago. Oh, excuse me a minute. Argentina is now dealing with China in yuan, meaning no dollar anymore.
Right.
And the dollar is going down, and it will be worse and worse, because all these countries now BRICS plus. And don't forget the plus, because there are more countries on the plus than on the BRICS, BRICS. okay, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, but now we have more and more countries going with BRICS. And Argentina say, okay, now we finish to use the dollar, we will deal with China and use the yuan as a international, as a money to make an international deal. And Macron, the president of France, has been in China, what, 1 week or 2 weeks ago, and he was pushing the same thing. He said, maybe it's a good time now to not to use the dollar and personally, I agree with that, because it's not a free market when one country, whatever is a country, push and obligated other country to use their own money, not to use their own money, but to use this country money, like the US, the dollar, to do business with other country, and to find a country when this one do business with another country the US didn't like. What happened, a few years ago, when they find the in France, which is one of the biggest bank in France, and I see they are also in a US with and they have a fine by the US Department because they were dealing with another country is not authorized by the US. My viewpoint is every country has the right to do business between each other. Imagine, Peter, one of the regulations say, hey, Peter, you don't have the right to do business with Jean-Luc. And you do business with me, and boom, you receive a fine you need to pay because they didn't like me, because I speak too much about something right. I don't have the right to speak. Okay? And what do they do that in a country? Because they want to control the world. And this is a man, we know that the French people starting after World War II. Okay, my father said that to me, and I look by myself, and I say, yes, this is right. My father said to me something. I was 10 years old, or around 10 years old. He said, you know, Jean-Luc, the bigger threat on this planet is China. Imagine, he said that to me 60 years ago. How does he know that?
Why did you think?
Huh?
Why did you think China?
What does he think China?
No, why did you think China? Because you were in France at the time. You're a kid.
So I was a kid. I was 10 years old, and my father talked to me, and he said to me, not me saying to him, but to me, the bigger threat on this planet will be China.
Why he
says that to me, and where does it from? I don't know.
Okay.
I say, wow, how does he know that?
Okay. Right.
You have some information somewhere.
Yeah, there are a billion. There's a billion plus people, and they're a communist country.
1.5 billion.
Yeah, and they basically believe those 1.5 people are really not individuals. Those 1.5 people are the elementary units that make that country. So they're all basically, they're basically supporting the country. It's all about the country. It's not about the individual. Whereas in the United States, it feels like we're more of the individual than we are. And we're more of the individual, which makes a great country.
You want to say you have more unity in China than in the U.S. about the people?
Well, in China, from what I understand, I've never been there. They're more basically told what to do. So it's more, you know, follow the rules, you know, more of a culture, like a cult, if you will. But the idea of we have a premier leader, and we're going to follow his instructions, and he's almost like a god, so there is no other god, but all of us are designed to make sure the country stays great. Now, in the United States, it's actually way different than that, and the freedom...
We don't have guns, too bad.
Right. Well, the freedom that we have is to be able to dispute, fight, disagree, all of those types of issues, and somehow through that messiness, we win most of the time. So that's the way it's been, but just imagine if here in the United States we were all pulling in the same direction, and we know why it doesn't happen that way, but if we were all pulling in the right direction, how much wonderful or more wonderful this country would be by comparison to where it is today. But that's another whole conversation. And I don't know if that's what you wanted to talk about today. If that's what you want to talk about today, we can talk about this stuff. But I don't know if you had any other special topic.
So talk about everything happened during the last few days, during the last week. But I agree with you, not completely, because I was listening an American guy who say, who he said he have been in China and traveling in China and with his family, and he said I was feeling safer in China than in the U.S.
Oh, without a doubt.
Meaning,
without a doubt.
Yeah. Meaning these people, I don't think all the Chinese people agree with the government because they have many issues too. There may be... harder to handle the people who disagree with the government than here, but here it's coming, you know, because when you look at the many things happen with the I even cannot say the name, just suppose justice, and these people still on January 6th still in prison without a judgment. How is this country do? Able to do something like this, you know? It's like China or the USSR at the worst, and we have this now in this country who's supposed to be the flag of the freedom, the worldwide freedom, supposed to be, but not anymore.
The reason why they do that is because January 6th was not necessarily what we've been told. It was an event that was perfect and set up to be what it was to make sure Donald Trump never gets elected again and to use that against him. So those people that are in jail right now is just a continuous deterrent, and it has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with Donald Trump. And it is so sad that they are so afraid of Donald Trump. So it is so weird, the Trump derangement syndrome is crazy. So if anybody is thinking that January 6th was coordinated by Donald Trump or whatever, it was an inside job. Lots of people were once people went in, it was easy for the vulnerable ones to go in, and we all know the rest of the story. But January 6th was an inside job, and it was concocted by our government specifically to make sure that Donald Trump never gets elected again.
He was
absolutely.
Tucker Carlson talked about this on Fox News, and you see the news this week too. He's not on Fox News anymore. He has been fired. See?
Well, that's another to make sure Donald Trump never gets elected again. They're basically now. There's no such thing. You might as well just not even look at the channel, because it doesn't matter with CNN, Fox News, MSN. They're all the same. They are now all this. They are getting rid of everybody, and they got rid of Dan Bongino.
California was speaking by itself and freely, and not even completely freely, because I listened to him and I listened to some people who know him, and I listened many things about him, and he said he was not completely free to speak or whatever he wants. But now maybe we'll have Tucker Carlson on Brighton, on Rubble, or whatever, or maybe different platform, free platform. right?
He will be, and that's good for the agenda that is still going on, because he'll have a few million people, but they'll be over there, and, you know, other people will, like Alex Jones has his little crowd over here, and Mike Lindell has his crowd over here, and, you know, Mike Adams has his crowd over there.
Mm-hmm.
And collectively, they're, you know, 30, 40, 50 million people, 100 million, whatever the number might be. But the establishment controls the main, and the establishment has made sure that no one's ever going to question an election again, and that means they can cheat like crazy. So the books are already been cooked for 2024, and they did it. So Tucker
and
can...
Dominion was suing Fox News for what he said about
Dominion sued because of slander and all the things that Fox News was saying. They're still going after Mike Lindell. But see, what they did was when they settled with Dominion, you knew that the game was over. So the game is over. That means that now no one is going to ever question an election again because they don't want to be sued. They know they'll lose because Fox News basically gave up. Who knows why they did, but there's probably some inside baseball going on with that as well. Because remember, the government, our fine government, had $10 billion that they spent in round one for something they called Trusted Voice. Trusted Voice was when they paid promoters like football league, baseball league, teachers unions, all that sort of stuff to talk positively about vaccines. So $10 billion first round. I think there was another $10 billion in the next round. So all these media places have been compromised. So the media places have been compromised. No one's ever going to question an election again in a big number. Like lots of independent people will. And maybe they might even be right, but they're never going to get through the courts. And the reality is the 2024 election, the books are already cooked. And it happened when Fox News settled with Dominion, because they'll also settle with whatever the Smartmatic company, whatever the name of the company is. They're all going to settle all the lawsuits. Trump is going to be convicted of whatever. And there's going to be a sham of an election. Biden, the dead president, is going to win. And they just need a body functioning. He doesn't have to be alive. He could be like the dead frog that you dissected, and they probably just shock him with, like, electric shocks. Just keep him alive. Let him just jump a little bit. And maybe even with artificial intelligence, they'll make sure that he looks
maybe
like he's alive.
Maybe they can create a Biden robot, you know?
They'll have a Biden robot, a Biden double, whatever the hell it is. Doesn't matter. It's all for show after that. So it's over. Game's over. Like, the game is over. So anyway, so back to you.
I don't think it's over, because I think at the end the good guy, the good side will win one way or another, because they are losing on many, 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 many sides. They are losing the dollar. They didn't know how to put the digital currency and obligate people to use it, because more and more people go on crypto and go out of the bank and all of this. And they are losing on, you see, the sink is already sinking, and it can go faster. Okay? We have now Bobby Kennedy who applied to be run for president. As a Democrat.
But remember, they're not even having any Democratic debates. So no one will know that Bobby
Biden refused.
Correct. So no one will ever hear Bobby Kennedy on the mainstream, because they're not even going to have any debates. In the Democratic Party, they're not even going to have debates. So Bobby Kennedy could be a wonderful guy, does wonderful things. Nobody's going to know who he is.
And this is not Democratic, by the way.
The books are cooked.
The Democratic Party is the one who is not democratic. It's completely communism party. You know?
Yep. The books are cooked. They're making. I mean, we can kind of go. I know we're already done with our radio show, believe it or not. But you know,
hey,
you
Peter,
already see
have, you, have you ever take a dictionary and look at communism?
No.
And look at socialism?
No.
I invite you to do it, and we can talk about this next.
Sure, we can
next,
talk about next week.
Show. But
sure.
Do it on a, look on a dictionary, on a good American dictionary, and I will ask you which dictionary you look at, and look the definition of communism and socialism. It's very interesting. I have
excellent.
Done it in different times.
I have to find old versions because they keep redefining the definition of things like they do with vaccines. So.
Yeah. Even redefine the definition of dictionary.
Yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, they do it with Wikipedia. They put
yeah.
many things that are not true on this, and many people go on it because it's online. But you have many good dictionaries online. I don't check Wikipedia. And when I time, I say, oh, this is bullshit.
Right. We'll take a look. We'll take a look. But the reality is we are done with our radio show. Believe it or not, we are done with our radio show. Could you imagine that?
And we have done with the month of April.
Wow. Well, that is a big number. So we're 340 what? 342, did you say?
342 end of April 2023.
Wow.
Next radio show will be in May.
That's crazy.
And it
that's
will
crazy.
Be the 5th of May.
Yep. Okay, cool. Well, we already have a partial topic for next week, and I am going to hang up on my good friend Jean-Luc and going to finish my work over here. Everybody have a great weekend. Thanks for being here on Building Fortunes Radio, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.